Hallelujah.
Amen.
My soul has been anchored.
Anchored.
In the Lord. Hallelujah. Mm. Just in case the storms don't cease.
Yes. Oh, God.
Had that song on my mind, Dwight.
Amen.
I got a picture that just shows exactly that. I brought it in with me.
All right.
It's just the song that I needed. Cause
all right.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
I come to you this afternoon giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Mm-hmm. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Minister Riley, Reverend McMillan, my lovely wife, and my beautiful, beautiful church family.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to profess the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Let us go to God in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Heavenly Dove. As I submit myself to you, oh God, you know all about me. You know where my mind is. You know where my heart is. You know what I've gone through and laboring in your word, Lord God. You know exactly where I'm at. But now, Lord, I need you.
Yes,
God. I need you, Lord God, just to come right now and use me, but speak a word, Lord God. Just take whatever you've given me and mold and make it into what someone needs to hear, Lord.
Jesus.
For someone needs to hear from you, Lord.
Yes.
Not from me, but they need to hear from you. Use me any way that you see fit. Do with me what you wish, Lord. But speak a word. Someone needs a word. On this Mother's Day, someone needs a word.
Yes.
Someone is crying and on the inside, Lord, and they need a touch from you. Touch,
Lord Jesus.
Have your way, Lord. In this vessel, in this place, on this day, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. I say to you, first of all, to all the mothers and the fathers that act like mothers sometimes,
mm-hmm.
all the mother wannabes, I say to you, happy Mother's Day. The day that is set aside to honor mothers. And though we're few in number, I will speak to the mothers here. And as I said, those who have been mothers to other people, because you don't have to be a biological mother to actually mother a child.
Yes.
So we're going to speak to you as well on this day. And I want to come from a familiar scripture. I don't think I've ever heard this used on a Mother's Day before, but this is what God put on my heart. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which of course is the love chapter. And I'm going to start reading there at verse 1. And I'll read down through 8 and then skip to 13. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. I like the way it read in that scripture. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Mm. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Let's skip down to 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And of course, charity is translated love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And some are probably wondering, how does that fit for Mother's Day? But the title should tell you what that is. It says, the title has a colon in it. It says, Mother, with a colon, God's love translated. Mother, colon, God's love translated. When you look at that word translated, the dictionary defines it as expressing the sense of words or text in another language. So you think about Mother, God's love translated. You see, when you start talking about another language, when God speaks, when God does something, it's sometimes hard for us to understand. Because God speaks in a divine manner. God speaks in a divine language. And when we try to translate it with our human means, we come up short. Let me see if I can give you an example. If you speak English and somebody else speak Spanish, and you don't have a translator, and you try to talk to each other, you can't do it. But there is one thing that you can do. I could tell them that I'm talking about eating, and although I can't make them understand the word, I can make a motion, and if I chew, and so I can show them what I'm talking about. So when we start talking about mothers, God's love translates. You see what I'm trying to get to? You see, we down there, we can't quite understand what love is.
All right now.
I think there was a songwriter that once said that. He said, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. Because there's something about it. You can talk about it, but you can't quite understand it. And you see, when the Greeks tried it, and the Greeks got closer than most people did with love, trying to understand love, they defined it in several different ways. I think there's six words that define love in the Greek, and all of them mean something different. So they tried to define love that eros is passionate love, and philia is a deep friendship, and ludus is a playful love, and pragma is a long-standing love. And philatia is a love of the self. And then, of course, there's agape love. That's love for everybody. That's unconditional love. So they tried to define love. They tried their best, and the closest they could come was agape. And we might understand some of that, but God had to make sure that we understood God's love. So he gave us mothers. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
When we try to define God's love, the closest translation is the actualization of a mother's love. That gets us closer to what God is trying to get us to understand. Hallelujah. God's love translated. Mothers. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about the lesson came from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it talked about spiritual gifts. But if you're going down in that chapter, I told my wife when I was studying last night, I said, it's amazing how God works, because when I went and started this sermon, I had no idea it would connect to the back of the Sunday school lesson. But if you look at the last verse in that chapter 12, it ends by saying that, but earnestly desire the best gifts. But then he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. He says, gifts and all of that, that's good, but the excellent way, that of course is love. He said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And then God was gracious enough to give us mothers to show us the way. That's why you always see them on TV. Hi, Mom. It's something about a mother's love.
Yes.
So there's two things I want you to see as we go through this morning. First of all, that number one, the way that we learn to love generally comes from our mother. Mm-hmm. And a mother shows, she teaches us how to love by showing us. So it's a translation of God's love. A mother is a translation of God's love. And the second point I want you to get as we go through is that from the very beginning, God had a plan for mothers. And he had a plan that involved all kinds of mothers. Mothers from various backgrounds and different levels of education. But he had a plan from the very beginning that involved mothers.
Yes.
I read an article yesterday or Friday, one of the two, that the lady's name is Anita Renfro. But she talked about some of the women of the Bible, and I just wanted to use some of that to kind of show you, because God had this plan for mothers to use them throughout eternity. If you look at what was read this morning, the scripture from Proverbs 31, and you probably heard it read hundreds of times. And Anita Renfro said in her article, she said, if you spent your adult life trying to live up to the mothering standard set in the first chapter of Proverbs, and she said, and I know a lot of women have, They say you might as well just go ahead and take up permanent residence in the I can't quite measure up lane. You see, God knew that. He said, I need women of all levels. I need different types of backgrounds, because no one mother is going to be perfect.
That's right.
Amen.
So all of the mothers may not be perfect, but they are all mothers. They are all a translation of God's love. Let me just walk through a few of these and won't be here long, just to show you how God works in his mysterious plan. He started off, the first woman, of course, was Eve. And Eve was the mother of Abel, Cain, and Seth. And Eve was the mother of us all. So that's the way you can remember her. Genesis 3:20 says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Eve was a mother without a mother. So she was likely to make some mistakes. Uh-huh. We all know that she did.
Yes. All right. It's all right.
Make a big mistake. But she had no mother to guide or no mother to correct her. I read somebody said that, well, God put her there because he had a plan, and the reason she found the apple is because she's probably the only one that knew where it was. You know, see, women just got a way of knowing where stuff is.
That's right.
That's right.
So with this God's eternal plan, if it left to Adam, he probably never would have found the apple.
Uh-huh.
He'd be like me, where do you put that apple? It was sitting right there. So, but he went through some things, and her sons were the first involved in a homicide. That was the first murder ever recorded, was Eve's sons. And she was the first mom to have to bury a child. Let's see, like 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, but love never gives up, and love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. So Eve, the mother, was all set the stage, set the tone. And then there was a lady named Sarah. She was the mother of Isaac. She was also the mother of many nations.
Many
people don't realize that, but Genesis 17:5 says, but neither shall they name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee.
Yes.
And if he was the father of many nations, then by implications, then Sarah was the mother of many nations. Right. See, this is one of the moms that gives hope to those mothers that wait late to get on the mommy tractor. Sarah says, still can be done. See, Sarah was one who could laugh at her late start with motherhood, because she knew that good things come to those who wait.
That's right.
So she taught us patience.
Patience.
First Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient. Love is kind. So God had a plan. He used mothers of different backgrounds. And then there was a mother named Rebecca. That was the mother of Jacob and Esau.
All right.
If you know Rebecca, Rebecca was a master manipulator.
Yes, yes.
She had some stuff with her. But you must understand, you know, you've heard so many preachers when they talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you never heard anybody say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau.
Nope.
All right. Is that right? That's right. See, if it hadn't been for old scheming Rebecca, it wouldn't have been that way. So you see, Esau was born first, but Jacob was Rebecca's favorite. And we know mamas don't play favorites.
No.
So old scheming Rebecca was part of God's plan. See, this writer says, but therefore, every mom who's ever had the temptation to play favorites with her children need to pay close attention to Rebecca.
Yeah.
See, just you got to make sure that when you start guiding your children, that God is guiding you.
Yes. All right.
A master manipulator, but part of God's perfect plan.
All right now.
So if you look at even Rebecca, when we said Genesis 29:12 says that Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebecca's son, and she ran and told her father. You see, she didn't say she was Isaac's son. She said, I was Rebecca's son. So she had a really meaningful part,
yes,
in God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 13:6 says, love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out.
Yes.
So she was part of God's plan. And then there's Jochebed, who's the mother of Aaron and Moses and Miriam.
Yes.
You know, Moses, he delivered the Israelites, and you don't know much about his mother. She's not mentioned a whole lot in the Bible, but God had a part for her to play in his perfect plan.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Jochebed was a smart lady, and when the king gave an order to kill all of the male born, she took her child and put it in a basket and floated it down the river, and in hopes, she was trusting God that if she put him in the basket, someone would rescue the baby. And as part of God's plan, that Pharaoh's daughter picked up the baby, and the baby ended up being nursed by his own mother.
Yes.
So Jochebed was part of God's perfect plan. She was the wife of the mother of he who delivered the Israelites. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love never gives up.
Never.
Never loses faith. Is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance.
Yes.
All right.
Jochebed, she knew that God, the king may say that every male child would be killed, but she knew that God could override man.
That God.
Part of God's master plan. And then there was old bad Bathsheba.
All right, man.
She was the mother of Solomon, who was one of the greatest kings of all time and one of the full of wisdom, one of the wisest kings of all time. But But Bathsheba and David had a mess going on. All the way down to David having Bathsheba's husband killed to cover up for their foolishness. But God can use whoever God chooses to use. So he chose to use Bathsheba and David. Is that right?
Yeah.
Both of them didn't, had a whole lot of mess with them, but... But see, regardless of your situation or your circumstances, if you remain faithful to God, he can use you. He can bring you out of whatever you used to be. Some people tell you that, I know when. I know you remember what he used to, but God can overcome all of that. He said, I can use.
Thank you.
Come on now.
So glad.
Hallelujah. Bathsheba, you never know who God's going to use.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no records of being wrong. Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And then finally there was Mary, the most honored of all the mothers. Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Oh yes.
Mary gave birth to the divine gift of heaven.
Yes.
And Mary had to put up with some stuff. You remember when Jesus was got lost at the temple and came up missing? And had nerve enough to tell his mama when he found him that, I'm about my father's business.
All right.
But if you look at the scripture, I didn't see any reaction from Mary.
Yes.
She held herself. She, here's some of your mothers. Now, I would have. And then he turned around at the wedding event. When she told Jesus to do something, he refused to come through the way that Mary knew he should have done. But his mama turned around and said, never mind that, but do whatever he tells you to do.
All right.
So Mary was humble, and she knew how to follow the directions from God. And then finally you find Mary at the cross.
All right now.
The disciples may scatter, but and some of his followers were hiding, but a mother stays when the rest of the world walks away.
All right.
Everybody turns their back on you.
Yes.
A mother is still there. She's not going anywhere. And everybody else can say, you're the worst thing in the world, but mamas would say, but that's my baby.
That's
That's right.
He'll always be my baby. I don't care what it is, always be my baby.
That's right.
See, Mary shows a true picture of real motherhood. A lot of excitement followed by years of work and moments of intense pain, but through it all, mothers stay there.
Yes.
All
right. So true. Thank you.
Hallelujah. So God in his perfect plan started with the mother of us all, and he ends with the most honored of all mothers. But when you look at these moms in the Bible, they reveal to us that mother love is fierce and tenacious and stubborn, sometimes to a fault, just will not give up on my child.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Something about a mother's love that finds a way. If my child needs something, I got to figure out when everybody else is giving up. I got to figure out a way to get through to my child, because it's a mother's love and I can't do anything else.
Thank you.
It may even seem the wrong way, wrong-headed sometimes. Like Rebecca, it may seem like the wrong thing to do, but I'm trying to make a way for my child.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Do what I gotta do. Whatever way the world might say that I'm wrong, but I gotta do what I feel like I gotta do because I'm a mother.
Oh, yes.
There's something about
mother's
love. Sometimes mothers do the right things for the wrong reasons and the wrong things sometimes, because they often feel like they gotta do something.
All right. Yes.
A mother's love. So God chose mothers to be the example of His love. It's God's love translated. Mother. God's love translated. God's love in action is a mother. I just want to close with an illustration. It says that there were four biblical scholars that were arguing over Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty and eloquent Old English. Another said he preferred the American Standard Bible for its literalism and the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. You know how scholars talk. A third man said he preferred the Moffat because of its quaint, penetrating use of words, the turn of a phrase that captures the attention of the reader. But that fourth gentleman stood there, and after giving further thought to what they were talking about, the fourth scholar said, "I have to admit that I personally preferred my mother's translation."
All right.
But when the other scholars laughed at him, he responded. He said, "Yes, she translated it."
All right, then.
She translated each page of the Bible into life. It's the most effective translation I've ever seen.
All right, great.
Mother. God's love. Translated. I want to know what love is. You go and find a mother.
Yes.
If you want to try to get the world back in order, go and get all the mothers together. I think when they were having all of the turmoil going on in Baltimore, when the lady grabbed her son, they said, "You can get all the mothers to go out there now. I bet you we could get order."
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Bring them in.
See, something about a mother's love.
That's what it's called.
Mother. God's love. Translated.
Jesus.
Let us pray.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracious and eternal God, we just want to thank you on this day. We thank you for mothers.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for those that have lived for long, those that are still alive.
Oh, yes.
But we thank you, Lord, for those who are gone on that you allowed to take part in our lives, show us the way and demonstrate to us what love is. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your love that you give to the world and that you show to us through our mothers.
Yes.
We thank you.
Yes, sir.
We love you.
Yes.
We praise your name.
Thank you.
It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.